actors, athletes, singers, billionaire business owners, the elite of society. We see them on TV and secretly we wish we could have that kind of success, right? But does the good life really deliver? Is the lure of big money, fame, and power really a classic bait and switch operation? You want to find out what real life is made of? Stay with me today. We're going to look at it together.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Living on the Edge is an international discipleship ministry featuring the Bible teaching of Chip Ingram. I'm Dave Drewy. Today, Chip continues his series, Breaking Through Life's Biggest Barriers, and embarks on a two-day journey to help us understand the difference between living a successful life versus a significant life. Well, now let's join Chip for his message, How to Overcome Feelings of Futility.
What we're going to talk about today is the difference between success and significance. To use an old cliche, there's a very subtle thing that can happen in every life, and here it is. You can climb a ladder and work and be very, very, very productive, only to find out that the ladder that you've climbed is what? Leaning against the wrong wall. And I think I'd like to begin by asking and answering the question, what's the difference between a life of futility and a life of fruitfulness? And then I want together with you to think through out loud, what kind of life are you going to have? What kind of life am I going to have? Is it going to be one of futility? Are we going to look back in the rearview mirror of our lives and say, I worked. I prayed even. I thought that once I arrived here, it would be full, but instead it's empty. Futility simply means that you give yourself to it, but then it comes up empty. Never forget the illustration a guy shared with me. I was a young Christian, just a couple years. I can't remember where I was, but I still have the picture in my mind of the napkin. And the guy pulls out a napkin, and, you know, my dream then was, you know, I wanted to be a star basketball player, and then I wanted to be a famous coach, and then I was going to teach in grad school, and then I was going to get married, and then I was going to have some great kids, and all in the name of God, of course. And I think he saw through all that. And he pulled out a napkin, and he drew about six different buckets with the picture from a source, my life, rainbows. Rainbows going into these six different buckets. He said, you know, Chip, everyone has a dream in their life, whether they verbalize it or not, and they're following the rainbow into the pot or the bucket of gold. And he said, we all believe there's certain buckets that are going to come through for us. And he was real calm, and he pulled out that pen, and he said, you know, some people follow the dream. And then he drew the little bucket, and he wrote the word fame. And see, they believe if they're ever famous, then someday, some way, there'll be a someone. And then he told me the story of James Dean, Jimi Hendrix. He said, other people, it's not fame, it's popularity or looks. And you know, they work real hard and they do everything they can to look a certain way so people will like them. And he wrote the word in that bucket with his pen on the napkin, popularity slash looks. And then he told me how Marilyn Monroe died. And I knew how she looked. And then he made another rainbow, and he drew a little bucket, and he put a dollar sign on it. And he said, you know, some people think if they just get enough money and can own enough things and impress enough people, then life will come through for them. And then he quickly told me the tragic story of Howard Hughes, of some of the last words of John Paul Getty, that it only takes one more million. And then he drew another rainbow, and he put a bucket, and it said success. And he told me about the lives of people who were very, very successful, only to come to the end and feel empty. And then he drew one that surprised me. He said, family. There's some people that secretly believe that everything's going to change once they get married. Or once they get married and that doesn't happen, when they have kids. And then the heartache and the suffering and the tragedy. And then he drew two more buckets. He said, Chip, we could draw buckets where people follow rainbows And every bucket in life is empty except two. There's only two buckets that if you give your life to these, they'll always come through for you. And I'll tell you about those a little later. Got you, don't I? At least you'll pay attention for the next 10 minutes. What bucket, if someone asks you, are you pouring your life into? Whether you decided willfully to do it or just unconsciously drifting that direction, what's the rainbow that you're following that you think if I ever get there and look down inside of it, it'll be filled with what'll satisfy? See, futility is something which easily pours out. It's not trustworthy. It won't come through. Has the idea of vain, fruitless, ineffective, or useless. I don't know about you. I don't want to end my life that way. By contrast, notice the word fruitful. Webster's, the Latin root, this really surprised me. The Latin root word is fructus, which means enjoyment. Did you ever think of that? When you live a fruitful life, there's enjoyment. It's means of enjoyment. It means something that's profitable, productive, producing results or desired ends. It's giving your life to something that when you look at it, it counts. It matters. It's not what other people think. It's following the rainbow, following the dream, and then looking into the bucket, and the mirror in the bucket looking back says, you made it. You've done well. You matter. Your life counted. You are significant. Now, the reason that these two things are in such contention is there is usually a very high price tag to be significant and a very high price tag to be successful. And the world tells us that we need to be successful, and God says you may or may not be successful in the world's eyes, but significance is what will fill your soul. One young man wrestling with this issue decided to become a missionary. And as he was wrestling through the issue, he was a Wheaton grad, and the price tag of giving up success for significance just seemed overwhelming. And in Jim Elliot's journal, he was later killed by the Alka Indians, I believe, in South America. In his journal, as he was wrestling with the situation, he wrote these words, "He is no fool to give up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Boy, that's a perspective giver, isn't it? In fact, look down with me. Read it again. He is, she is, no fool to give up what you cannot keep to gain what you cannot lose. Question, how in the world can we avoid futility in our lives? How do you end up finishing your life, looking in the mirror, then looking at God and saying, you know, I had a lot of ups and downs, but I finish well? Now, what I'm going to warn you is that the answer is very simple. I mean, simple to understand, but it's pretty tough to do. Jesus is going to give us a very clear cut answer. Here's what he says. You want to avoid a life of futility? Resolve to refuse to confuse success with significance. It's basically what he taught. Refuse. See, that's an act of the will. It's a choice. Refuse to confuse success with significance. Luke chapter 9, verses 25 and 26, Jesus is speaking. He says, "What good is it for a man to gain the whole world?" That's success. "And yet lose or forfeit his very self." Literally, the word in Greek is psyche. It has the idea of all your mental capabilities. It's used in general reference for your spiritual life, for what really matters. What good is it? Rhetorical question. What good is it going to do if you got the fame, you got the popularity, you got the success, you got the money, you've got it all. You got the house, you got the condo, you can ski, you can fly, you can do it all. You got the body. What good does it do if you gain the world yet lose? And the word for lose here is used in this language for a ship full of precious cargo that is shipwrecked. That's the picture. What good is it if you have all that and you lose, or you shipwreck your life and you lose you? In fact, he pushes it to the next level because he understands that to be successful, you will have to shrink back from your relationship. To really be successful in the world by their standards, you'll have to shrink back from your relationship with Christ. Notice verse 26. He says, if anyone is ashamed of me, if anyone shrinks back from relationship with me, if anyone shrinks back from identifying with me, if anyone shrinks back or is ashamed with friends and workers and neighbors and in-laws and people that are significant, powerful people, prestigious people, other, quote, successful people. If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, notice his words, his teaching, his truth. Notice what he says. The Son of Man will be ashamed or shrink back of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and the holy angels. See, what we're talking about is a big issue, big, big issue. It is not politically correct to walk with God, to be open about your faith. And by the way, around here, we know that doesn't mean, you know, having a 7-inch black Bible on your desk, hitting people over the head with it, being, you know, narrow, bigoted. No, we're talking about a winsome, loving, servant, gracious, relationally open, radical Christian who communicates the love and the power of Christ by your words, who's not ashamed of Jesus, not ashamed of his word, openly identifies and understands it'll bring flack, understands it might mean losing an account, understands there's some people that won't understand. See, the price tag of being significant is going through life God's way. Augustine, the great theologian in the early church, wrote, God is always trying to give us good things, but our hands are too full to receive them. I just sat down, literally, put my feet up and began to pray. And I said, Lord, what's the real difference? So I look at your word. What's the difference between success and significance? And there's probably many more, but the random thoughts that came to me as I prayed, success is about productivity. Significance is about satisfaction. A lot of people are productive and not satisfied. Success is about climbing the ladder. You know, I'm going to make it. Significance is about which wall the ladder is on. Success is about what you do, your performance. Significance is about who you are. Success is about applause, what other people think. Significance is about peace. Are you even vaguely aware that all these people that look so good on the outside, that we pass in the grocery stores, that have nice stuff, that go on great vacations, that when you walk in, see them arm in arm, they look like such happy couples, you are aware that they're desperately hurting, that there's major strife, that they don't know how to be a parent, that they have dysfunctional relationships and people are abusing alcohol and there's all kind of hurt and there's all kind of struggles and they don't relate very well to their parents. And a lot of what they drive banks on, and they have incredible pressure and they're spending about 25% more a month than they bring in. And it's a facade. And instead of being intimidated by them, we need to love and care and move into their life. Because see, we can have peace. It's a lot better than applause. Success is about stuff. Significance is about people. Success is about taking off. Man, I'm going to make it. Significance is about landing well. Success is about the now. Man, I got to do it now. I got to do it now. I got to have it now. In fact, if I can't get it now, I'll charge it. And if I can't charge it, I'll refinance. And they say that 20% over above what my house is worth, and then I'll pay that off, and then I can start charging it again. And I got to have the right person now. I got to have the right stuff now. And I got to move up now. And I'll mortgage my future now. See, all the stuff that you can get right now can bring you quick, short-term success. But most of us aren't willing to pay the price, the kind of stuff that it takes day after day after day of discipline, of commitment, of riding out the hard times. Those things produce something called character, endurance. And those are the kind of things that make you significant. To be significant, there is always short-term pain and loss in order for long-term gain. Significance is about forever. Let me give you a couple resources. Number one, Halftime by a guy named Bob Buford. He's a multimillionaire who has shifted his focus from the first half of his life of being successful to being significant, and he tracks his journey. It's excellent material. Very committed believer, has launched and sponsored a number of Christian organizations, and he shoots it straight and he's very open and honest. Second book is by a non-Christian author, but if you find yourself under pressure, you find yourself on the fast track, excellent reading. It's called The Paradox of Success by John R. O'Neill. Subtitle, When Winning at Work Means Losing at Life. He became extremely successful. He lost his wife. He lost his family. He lost all that mattered. And he traces the lies and the misbeliefs. Here's a secular guy, as far as I know, who has incredible insight about how to live a life that'll matter. Well, I think we've diagnosed the problem. And I know it's hard, okay? This is one of those sermons where we are the salmon of God, seeking to swim upstream, and you know what? The current's coming at us. But in your heart of heart, you want to be significant, and I want to be significant. Now we've identified the problem. Final question. How can you move, and how can I move, from a success orientation to significance? How can we line our thinking and our lives and our priorities and our time and our resources in such a way that we land well? I did a funeral and I buried a significant woman. She didn't have a lot of money. She didn't win any beauty contest. She wasn't well known, wasn't visible. She came to Christ in this church about 4 years ago. And she was a house mother for abused kids. Kids that are taken out of their homes because of abuse and tragedy and drugs. And I mean, the kind of kids that no one gives a rip. I mean, they've had more problems. Some of these kids have experienced more in the first 6, 8, 10 years of life than any adult should ever, ever experience, ever. And I heard 6-year-olds and 8-year-olds and 10-year-olds say, Donna made me feel special. When I didn't think there was any hope in life, she cared about me. She loved me. Donna was always there. She has marked. You talk about significance? She doesn't have any big retirement program. She hasn't written a book. There are lives that will be marked with the imprint of Donna Mead for all eternity, because she took what she had and she focused it on the things that matter most.
Living a life of significance, impacting those around you, even the next generation. Well, it sounds like something only very talented people can do. But the truth is, you can be a change agent for God. Chip will be right back, but if you're just joining us, you're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. And this message is part of Chip's series called Breaking Through Life's Biggest Barriers. This series is available for a limited time at a special on-air discount price. To order Chip's series, Breaking Through Life's Biggest Barriers, just dial 1-888-333-6003 or visit us online at livingontheedge.org. Well, Chip, as we talk about the Bible being God's word and that he wants to speak to us, the truth is that even when people try, they'll say they don't hear anything special, they're discouraged, and they just want to quit. We know that's what happens. So would you talk a little about the new online video course you just finished?
Sure, I would be glad to. In fact, I am super excited about this. It's How to Hear God's Voice in Scripture. What we know from the research is the average believer in Jesus Christ is not in God's Word on a regular basis. And so what I wanted to do was I wanted to help ordinary people, people that just want to know but just don't have the tools of getting into God's Word, but not like I need to read so many chapters or God will love me more if I read more, but in a very practical way. It's how I learn to read the Bible in a way
to hear God's voice, to connect with God. It's a very simple format. It's short. It's only 5-part. The teaching time is only about 7 minutes. And there's another 10 or 12 minutes to actually practice what I teach. So I think it's really, really going to help people. And I cannot wait for those who want to learn to get it and those who are discipling others to have a tool in their hands that they can share and to help the people that they love really hear God's voice as they get into God's Word.
Thanks, Chip. Well, this online video course, How to Hear God's Voice in Scripture, really is a great new resource from Living on the Edge. No matter where you are in reading the Bible, what Chip shares will take your ability to discern God's voice to a whole new level. You can do these 5 video sessions on your own time, at your own pace. As your relationship with God deepens, your confidence will increase, and you'll actually begin to look forward to spending time with Him. Just go online to livingontheedge.org and take your next step toward hearing God speak to you through His Word. Well, now here's Chip with some final application.
When I began the message today talking about empty buckets, talking about the empty buckets that we tend to put our hope for real fulfillment in, fame, money, sex, the list goes on. Accomplishment, children coming out right, great home, great marriage. What did you think? What was going through your mind? I'd like to take you back to those empty buckets. And when I was talking about those empty buckets, what was going through your mind? Where are you? Where is your life being invested? Is it for things that last, things that will bring success, or is it for things that will really bring significance? You know, I walked through a list here, and we said today, just right out of the Bible, that we can't confuse success with significance. If you do, you'll find that you can work, only to discover, and I know it's a cliche, but it's one that is so true, that your ladder really is leaning against the wrong wall. And so let me go through that difference between success and significance. And I want to do it just as a pastor. I want to just talk through it slowly and I'd like you to ask the Holy Spirit to say, Lord, will you reveal yourself to me in this? Will you help me? I know you want me to be significant. So as Chip goes through these, will you show me where I'm at with you? Is your life and your mindset characterized more by productivity or satisfaction? You know, is it work? Is it demand, hurry? Or is there a sense of peace and satisfaction and you're doing the things that will really count? Is your life all about what you do, or is it about who you are? Is there a sense that you're a lot more concerned about growing as a person than pleasing people and accomplishing things and letting everyone know that you're okay when down deep you don't really think you are? Is your life motivated primarily by the applause of people, or is it motivated by a sense of inner peace that the Lord Jesus gives that, you know, as you put your head on the pillow and go to bed, you know, well done. Yeah, of course, you confess the sins and you have your ups and downs and your struggles, but there's a sense of calm and peace that says, you're on the right track. You're growing. I'm proud of you. Good and faithful servant. Is your life, if you were very honest, is it more about stuff or is it more about people? Do you, let's be honest with one another. It's just you and me talking. I mean, are you really pushing for stuff and things and money and the 401k and the new this and the new that? And of course, you know, Christianizing it with, you know, we'll use this to serve people and all those rationalizations that we believers use. Or does your heart really beat for people? Does your heart break for people that are hurting? Let me ask you just before God, in the words of Augustine, is God constantly trying to give you good things, but are your hands just so full with so much stuff you can't receive Him? Let's go for significance. Success simply isn't what it's cracked up to be.
Do you wish you could hear Living on the Edge when it fits into your schedule? You can. For those of you who want to listen to Living on the Edge whenever and wherever you want, download the free Chip Ingram app. You'll find the Chip Ingram app at Google Play or the App Store today. Well, be with us again tomorrow when Chip continues our current series. Until then, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge.